when I get these opportunities, I find that they challenge me, extremely challenge me to be a better Christian. I find myself being drawn to the Word more and drawn to prayer more. I find that I'm challenged that I need to know God more, closer relationship with Him. It challenged me to walk in His Spirit. It challenged me to seek His Spirit, to be empowered by His Spirit. And there's times where I kind of just do my own thing and I forget to go, God, what are you doing here? These opportunities challenge me to go, God, thank you for this opportunity. What are you wanting me to do? How do you want me to serve you? It gives me an opportunity just to be faithful and to serve God. I want to bring Him glory. I want my life to be pleasing to Him. I want to expand His kingdom. I want to bless His people. I want to be a person that when others look at me outside the church, inside the church, they see Jesus. And my confession is that's not always the case. But I do my best. I get up. I move forward. I get these opportunities and I stand out here and I go, oh Lord, what did I get myself in today? Right? Breathe. Remember to breathe. I have a few questions for you. Do you have a broken relationship with a family member or maybe a really close friend? Relationship's been broken. It's been damaged. And you don't know how to fix it. Have you ever been wronged by someone and it's caused you bitterness or resentment in your life? I know for me it has. Sometimes I struggle with forgiveness. Sometimes I struggle with relating with somebody who's done me wrong. It hurts. You feel betrayed. There's an offense that takes place. To be honest, I do well when it comes to family, when it comes to close friends. I feel that I do well when it comes to other believers within the church. I don't always do so well when it comes to outside the church. Especially for me, it's work related. I've had coworkers do things, whether they intended or not, that hurt me. It brought offense. I felt betrayed. And I struggled with forgiving them. I tend to, when somebody harms me, especially outside the work, I tend to create distance. I tell myself, I'm building a healthy boundary. I'm going to put up some walls so they can't hurt me again. And what happens often is if we build walls, what do? We isolate ourselves. My goal is to have healthy boundaries because healthy boundaries help protect ourselves from being hurt. Healthy boundaries have doors in the wall. Because what can you do with a door? You could open a door. You could let the good in, and you could let the bad out. If I have been hurt by someone, and we restore our relationship, there's repentance, there's forgiveness, and we come together, I can open that door and let them back into my life. Right? So we want to have healthy boundaries. Did you know, as Christians, we're called to forgive others? No secret there, right? Did you know that God has forgiven you? Without God's forgiveness, I don't deserve to be here. Not just here speaking today, but also in this church among other believers. Without His forgiveness, I don't belong to be here. Without His forgiveness, you don't belong to be here. You're here, and I'm here simply by the grace of God. God is a forgiving God. When we were in the world, we were lost in sin, and God called us, and we came, and we repented, and we believed, and we accepted Jesus Christ as King, as Lord. He didn't say, you know what? I know what you've done. I'm going to keep you at arm's length. He didn't say that. He didn't reject us. He accepted us for who we are. He brought us into real relationship with him. He forgave us our sins, and we became part of his kingdom. God is a good God. My title sermon today is The Dangers of Unforgiveness. When you hear the word forgive, what does that mean to you? For someone to forgive, what does that mean to you? For me, it means I'm not holding offense against someone. And this is what I'm striving for, but this is what it means. I don't always do well with it, right? I confess that, but I'm striving to do better. But to me, to forgive means not holding an offense against someone. To love them no matter what they've done to me. And that can be a hard one sometimes. To let go of the offense and look to restore relationship with them. If you take one thing away today, I want you to take this phrase. I want you to remember it. Forgiveness is always the right choice. Amen. You're going to help me out today because I'm going to repeat this phrase multiple times. When I say forgiveness is, you're going to say it's always the right choice, right? Forgiveness is always the right choice. So we know that Pastor Doug, he's been preaching on our culture here at Lifehouse Church. I think last 2-3 weeks, I've been preaching and teaching on our culture. Who are we? Who do we want to be? Who has God called us to be? What are we looking to do? What are we wanting to accomplish? He's been talking about culture. My question for you is, what part does forgiveness play in our culture? Our mission, it's going to pop up here for you, so I won't put anybody on the spot. Our mission is to be the house of Jesus, caring personally, serving practically, and living powerfully. If we want to be the house of Jesus, we have to be a people of forgiveness. Our house has to be a place where people can come in and it's safe. They're accepted. We're trustworthy. We look to build relationship with them. Because if we don't do that, we can't help people. We can't minister to them. We can't love them. We want to be the house of Jesus. We want to care personally for them. Whether it's in church, outside of church, at work, within your family, care personally for them. We want to serve them practically. And we want to do that by living powerfully in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't do it on our own. And normally when we try to, we kind of mess it up, don't we? So be the house of Jesus, caring personally, serving practically, and living powerfully. Our vision statement is be the first house people run to every time. That's what we strive for. That's what we want Lifehouse Church to be. It's something we strive for. We may not be able to accomplish that in its entirety, but we strive to be the house that people run to every time. Again, the house has to be a house of God, a house of love, a house of trustworthiness, a house of forgiveness, a house of relationship. And if we want to be the house, the first house people run to every time, the door's got to be open. You probably have heard that a few times. I think Doug said it 1 to 100 different times, maybe. Why is that important? The door's got to be open, right? If we want people to come in, the door's got to be open. But here's the deal. We're not looking to trap anybody. The door's open. They could come and go. The Lord may be leading them somewhere else. They may come for a short time and receive what we have for them. The door's got to be open. Our culture is obtainable and possible because of God's forgiveness. we're unable to fulfill our mission and our vision if we are a people of unforgiveness. Mother Teresa once said, if we really want to love, we must learn to forgive. If we don't have love, we can't forgive, right? And why is that? Because forgiveness is always the right choice, right? Come on, wake up. Forgiveness is always the right choice. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Have you ever had someone sin against you and you struggled with forgiving them? How did that unforgiveness affect your life? Something to consider, think about. This was years and years ago. Story about unforgiveness. My brother gets married. So then I have a sister-in-law, right? So we didn't always get along. We didn't fight physically. We didn't hurt each other. But we weren't always the nicest to one another. I felt early on in the relationship, she didn't like me. I felt, and I know, who doesn't like me, right? I'm teasing, I'll be humble. She didn't like me. I'm sure I gave her a reason. And I felt she sinned against me. She offended me. She disrespected me. And I held that unforgiveness for a few years. And it affected us. We got along for the most part, but we didn't spend a whole lot of time together. They didn't come over our house too often. We didn't go over their house. A couple years later, I'm married. I'm attending Vineyard Christian Fellowship Church. I'm at a place in my life where I'm wanting to serve God. I'm wanting to grow in my walk with Him. I'm looking for opportunity, going to small groups. I'm looking to serve in a ministry at church. I just want to do what God's calling me to do, whatever that might be. During that time, especially in one of the small groups, I forget, we were probably talking about forgiveness. I forget exactly what the topic was, but the Lord starts to work in my heart about my unforgiveness towards my sister-in-law. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you want me to deal with this. Okay, so do I confront her? Do I call her and go, hey, you wronged me, you offended me, and you need to repent? And the Lord laughed. No, I'm joking. But He was like, no, I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about you and your heart. And so I thought about that and I prayed. And the Lord revealed that I had a part to play in that. I offended her. I disrespected her. I did just as much to hurt that relationship between us. And so I obeyed. And I said, okay, Lord. I worked up the courage. I called her and she answers. And I tell her, I'm like, hey, I know we haven't always got along. I wronged you. I've done things and said things, and I wanted to tell you that I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And immediately she starts to weep. And immediately she forgives me. And immediately she says, I've wronged you. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? This phone call took maybe 3 minutes. Within 3 minutes, we both repented. We both forgave. And God broke down barriers. God brought instant healing. It's been probably around 28 years, because I was newly going to Vineyard Christian Fellowship at that time. God broke down barriers and He brought healing. We've had a great relationship ever since that phone call. Not because of me, not because of her, but because of what God did in us and through us. God is a good God. If you notice as I talk, I don't know what to do with my hands. So they just kind of, they rise up on me. Some of you got the reference. There are dangers when we choose not to forgive. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, 14 through 15. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Our first danger to unforgiveness is God will not forgive you. That makes you stop and think, right? There's no denying this. It's clear in scriptures. If we don't forgive others, he can't forgive us. Unforgiveness is not acceptable in God's kingdom. It's not acceptable. In Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, it says, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." And also, Ephesians 4, verse 32. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." So as believers, we know we're called to be a people of forgiveness. We're called to be Christ-like. We're called to have relationship with the Father. And we know from our own experience that God is a forgiving God. We're called to be like our Father. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 14. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." So we know we're called to be a people of forgiveness inside and outside the church. We see inside the church, if we're forgiving one another, it allows us to come together in love in perfect unity. Jesus is one with the Father. Father's one with him. He's one with us. We're one with him. Perfect unity in love. Part of our culture here at Lifehouse Church is our cause statement. Our cause statement says, "Because there's no life without love." Because there's no life without love. And our belief statement is, "The love of God is alive." Love is necessary for life. If we want to have life here at Lifehouse Church, we have to be loving one another. We have to be loving the outside world. We have to be loving our neighbors. We have to be loving our enemies. And that person who may have sinned against you and hurt you and brought offense, we're called to love them. Now, it may not be a person we like. Make sure we understand the difference between love and like. We may not be compatible with a certain person. They may have hurt us. We might have to put up a healthy boundary and bring some separation in that relationship, but we can still love them, pray for them, serve them, whatever the Lord's calling us to do. Love is necessary for life. Where there's unforgiveness, there's no love. Joan London said, A heart filled with anger has no room for love. If you ever noticed when you're wronged, somebody offends you, get angry, there's anger in your heart, bitterness, resentment. If that's the case, there's no room for love. As I was preparing for the sermon, the Lord started to deal with my heart again on the issues of unforgiveness. He seems to do that. Oh, hey, I want you to speak on this. And by the way, you have some issues to deal with and work through. And so anyways, here you go. So as I say, I don't always do well at work. I've had coworkers I felt wronged me, hurt me, felt like they betrayed me, and I created distance. And it affected me. I'd go to work and I would do my job, but I'd interact as little as possible with these people. I was hurt. I struggled. And the Lord reminded me about that. Well, before preparing, I knew that I needed to forgive. I knew as a Christian, we're called to forgive others. So I prayed, I named these people, I said, I forgive them, Lord, and I went on. While I'm preparing, the Lord reminds me, you went through the motions, but you didn't really forgive completely. What I do is I'd see them at work in the office, and if I saw them, I would walk the other way if I could and avoid the contact. I remember praying to God, God, where's the justice? Why were they allowed to do that? And it's okay. Where's the justice? And he reminded me, almost like I've been there before, right? It's not about them. It's about you. What's your heart? Are you loving? No, you have some bitterness and resentment. So I've been working through this. And I'm doing better with it. But I have to trust God in the process. I can't do it on my own. Turn to Ephesians with me, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 26 and 27. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11 to you. But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Another danger of unforgiveness is it gives Satan a foothold. It allows Satan to get in and build up strongholds. I had some strongholds concerning some coworkers, and I needed help with those. We know Satan's come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? We see that in John 10:10. If an offense arises and we can deal with it quickly, the better. If we're offended and we can come and give it to God quickly and we can forgive them, the better, because it shuts the door and it doesn't allow Satan in to get a foothold. But in reality, we don't always do that well, right? If he gets a foothold, forgiveness can break that foothold. Lord's in the process of breaking this foothold and these strongholds concerning the way I think and been dealing with some coworkers. He's breaking those strongholds. Another danger of unforgiveness is that it destroys relationships. We probably all have somebody in our lives that a relationship has been broken, it's been destroyed. Unforgiveness destroys relationships, breaks families apart, It destroys churches. It brings division and destruction. It causes animosity among neighbors and coworkers and family members, right? It can destroy relationships. Another danger of unforgiveness that allows and causes physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual issues into our lives. Unforgiveness causes bitterness, resentment, hatred, emotional angst. Davis Willis said, "Holding a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak. It sets you free." I believe we have that up there, do we? Holding a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiveness doesn't make you weak. It sets you free. I'm going to leave that up there just for a moment. I want you to soak that in. We know by looking at the Word of God that unforgiveness is sin. We know that sin causes division. It causes issues in our lives. So we want to be aware of that. We're commanded to be a people of forgiveness. If we choose not to forgive, we could be stepping into and walking in sin. So we want to address that quickly, right? We don't want to give Satan any footholds. So do you have any physical, mental, emotional, spiritual issues in your life? Do you have any unrepentant sin or unforgiveness towards someone? So how do we forgive? Anyone here heard of Joyce Myers? She has a teaching on three steps to forgiveness. The three steps, you may want to write these down if you're taking notes. Three steps: decide, depend, and obey. Decide, depend, and obey. We have to decide to forgive. If we wait till we feel like it, it ain't gonna happen. Right? We have to decide. Make that decision based off the fact that God is calling us to repent if repentance is needed. God is calling us to forgive if forgiveness is needed. We have to make that decision. Then we depend on God, because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it right, at least. If I did it the way I wanted to with my sister-in-law, I'd have called and said, "You wronged me, you hurt me, you should repent." And that's not what God was calling me to do. Depend on God. And then obey. Obey his word. Obey his commands. Decide, depend, and obey. Matthew 18, 21 through 22. "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?' 'Up to seven times.'" It's a good number, right? "Jesus said, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" Anybody good at math? 70 times seven? 490. 490 is a big number. Somebody's sinning against you 490 times. They got some issues. I don't believe Jesus is saying or putting a number on how many times we have to forgive. I believe what he's saying is forgive every time it's necessary. And why is that? Because forgiveness is always the right choice, right? Do you ever find yourself trying to reason and make excuses why not to forgive somebody? We think, "I'm not going to forgive this person because they'll get off easy and do it again. What they did was horrible. They shouldn't be let off the hook. That'd be unjust. They don't deserve it. They haven't even repented. They don't seem to care whether they're forgiven or not. And I was hurt too deeply. I just can't let it go." I'm going to read this. I don't want to miss it. "Forgiving someone is not the same thing as ignoring what they've done. We don't have to ignore it. It's not excusing it either. We don't have to make excuses for it. Instead, forgiving someone is seeing the horrible thing that has been done and choosing not to hold it against that person or get even with them. Neil Anderson's book, Victory Over the Darkness, he says, forgiveness is what sets you free from the past. What is to be gained in forgiving is freedom. You don't heal in order to forgive. You forgive in order to heal. There may be some here today that terrible, maybe even criminal things have happened to you. There may be some here today who have been sexually assaulted, physically or mentally abused. There may be some here today where a parent abandoned you or a spouse committed adultery against you. Those are terrible, horrible things, especially the criminal ones. I'm not here today saying that those things are okay. I'm not here saying, you know what, just get over it. It's not a big deal. I'm not saying that. There are bad things that happen. What I am saying is forgiveness is always the right choice. Say it with me. Forgiveness is always the right choice. Just a reminder here, or not a reminder, but just wanted to point out, if you've been victimized, that doesn't mean you're a victim. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to be a victim. We're believers of Jesus Christ. Our identity is found in God the Father. What is your identity? Are you a child of God? Dave, what's your identity? A child of God. Angel, what's your identity? Ashley, child of God. You're a child of God. You're not a victim. You can receive healing and be set free from those things that have been done. In a moment, I'm going to ask you a few questions for your response. First of all, I want you to remember the dangers of unforgiveness. If we don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. Unforgiveness gives Satan a foothold in your life. It destroys relationships. It causes physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual issues. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? You can go ahead and stand with me. A few questions for your response. Do you have any unforgiveness in your life? Is there someone you need to forgive today? Have you forgiven someone, but you still have resentment, bitterness, anger? You struggle with loving that person? Do you need help with building healthy boundaries? Not just walls, but a wall with doors, with a door. Let the good in, the bad out. God wants to set us free. He wants to bring healing. He wants to restore relationships. He wants to help us in our walk so that we can better serve Him and bring glory to Him. But in the process, He wants to make us whole. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be willing and able to work through issues, because people will wrong us. People will offend us. People will hurt us. People will victimize us. We have to know how to trust God and work through that process. God is willing and able to help us. We're going to take a moment of worship. If you could respond to any of these questions.